Welcome to Teacher Tales, where we dive into real-life stories and unforgettable moments from classrooms everywhere. I'm Glenn Bryant, and each week I'll bring you heartwarming, hilarious, and sometimes downright unbelievable tales from teachers who've seen it all. Let's jump in. Welcome to
Teacher Tales.
I'm here today with Todd Tipler. Todd is a... I've known him for a long time. I don't remember if I actually had you in class or if you were just at the school when I was teaching there. But Todd's a case study in persistence and very, very proud of where he is in his career and very proud to be able to talk to him tonight. Just what a fascinating story to tell about perseverance and sticking with it and knowing what you want to do and then finding a way to make it happen. So, Todd, thank you for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey into education, how you decided upon becoming a teacher, and maybe some people that helped you along the way.
I graduated from West Morgan in 2001. I started out as a special ed major, and I tutored math on the side, and Mr. Bryant did not teach me, but I think I was most about 80% of his substitute when he was out of school. I took care of his classes, and I actually taught, and the kids thought it was
And that was actually a lot more than what, you know, because I was in my military years, and so, you know, I was pretty active deployment 2001, 2002, 2003, and through that range, and then all the way up 2005. I bet I spent a semester or more, a couple of days at a time, out of school.
Yes. So anyway, I graduated from West Morgan, and I thought I'd step away from it, and I got dragged back in, and through school I was subbing on the side, and I never thought I'd be a teacher, but just going back, you know, I love sports, love trying to grow students' knowledge of math, but today...
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm not going to try to edit these dogs out,
okay.
But the dogs are, it must be a full moon or something, because the dogs are super hyper this evening. So if you wind up, if you look over here and there's a dog in my lap, we're just going to roll with it.
Okay. So basically I graduated at Calhoun. I had like 2 days off after I graduated high school, went to Calhoun, and then I jumped into Athens, and I got my master's degree at West Alabama Online, and that was rough doing math online, but,
I bet.
So it's, you know.
So who were some of the people that were motivational to you that, you know, if you had to give a shout out to people who gave you a handout or hand up along the way, who were some of those folks?
Probably math. Coach Bryant, he kind of helped me along the way. I didn't really like geometry, but his class was geometry, so I stuck with it. Keith Harris, he helped me along the way. There were several. You know, everybody teaches different, but everybody had a... you know, had a purpose of it. So I know Coach Bryant, he did a lot of projects in his class. I do some of mine. I do old school. The new math, I'm still trying to learn it, but I don't think it works. But, you know, I'm still old school, and it's working. So as long as you grasp the kid's mind, it don't matter how you do it, as long as they excel with it. So.
Well, I have a... typically ask, you know, a series of 8 questions or so, and then we'll do story time at the end, and if these dogs will leave me alone. The most memorable moment a student made you laugh, and how did that moment impact your teaching?
Well, at the time, kids never made me laugh. I wanted to, but being a teacher, you know, you got to be serious in the classroom, and, you know, years after I graduate, they come back to me, then I start laughing, because they laugh with me now and not against me, so... Basically, I just learned that, you know, you got to be serious, but you got to joke around some in the classroom. That way, they don't think they really, you know, you really hate them in the classroom. You got to make them, you know, have part of the classroom as well. So
you can't think of a specific time when a student made you laugh and you just, you know, couldn't help but notice that, hey, I'm laughing. I probably shouldn't be, but it's funny.
Yeah, well, I guess one time I was down at Fruitdale High School, and it was my first job away from home, and I'm a big time on quizzes. I do time quizzes, and one day they came back and I said, you can start the quiz. And I said, I can't find my timer. And I said, let's just not do time quiz today. Well, 20 minutes after it's supposed to go off, it goes off in my classroom. it's in the kids. And I said, excuse me. I started laughing. I said, where's it at? They wouldn't show me where it was to the end of the day. But, you know, I just learned that, hey, they thought the time quiz was important too. And, you know, we went along with their timer and it was in their pocket.
Yeah, they set the time that day.
Yeah.
Talking about the kids and the time test and the time assignments and stealing your timer and that kind of thing. So I had a group of kids that took the guts out of a, those greeting cards that make a noise. And every time I'd pull my desk open, the sound would start singing happy birthday. And it, when you close the desk, of course it would go away. So it, you know, that, anyway, that's just one of those things that kids do. If you could give your younger teacher self one piece of advice, what would it be? And why would you give yourself that piece of advice as a, let's see, how long you've been, you 10 years or so now, right? Or 12 years?
I have 13 years now, but I'm at Giles County, Tennessee now. And this is my second year there. So I got a 14 total.
So you've been teaching a total of 14 years.
14 years, yes, sir.
In 14 years' time, you've learned a thing or two.
A lot.
And if you could know what you know now, so go back, you know, year one, Todd, talking to year 14, Todd.
Uh-huh.
What's the advice?
Be serious, but you got to joke around some. Every kid has different lifestyles at home, and they may be joking all the time and be serious. So basically, just put a little everybody's sense into your lesson. You know, have your serious mode, have a joking mode throughout the day. I usually have first five and last five. We have like jokes all the time and I get bonus points for it. So, you know, it's fun.
What's the craziest thing that you've ever done to keep your students engaged and did it work?
Probably listen to math music. There's some rap songs that, Nelly sung one song, they got into it, and basically country songs. Dolly Parton was in one, and they said, who is that? You know, you're old school. And so basically just put music in.
She's famous again, though. She's doing rock stuff now.
She is. So, my kids sing, and I see that they're learning off music as well. So,
yeah, I did when I was teaching seventh grade, I did a ratio rap and I can still quote that rap. The kids loved it. Not so much. And we're talking about like this was a lesson I did while I was doing my student teaching. So it was one of those where it was observed by the Athens State instructional staff and they thought it was funny, but kids, you gotta do what you gotta do to keep kids engaged.
Right. We have a surround sound in our room now and we have a microphone. So basically sometimes when I see them bored, I get out the mic and I say, sing this for me. And you know, for they're back in their lesson now. So,
you know, it's not, teaching's not easy.
No.
And we're working hard to keep our students engaged. What do you do? And how do you personally stay motivated on those days when nothing seems to go right?
Like I said, I have joke time throughout the day, turn music on. And then when I really get mad, I go outside and I pace the halls a little bit. And then before you know it, I hear them say, he's ill today. You know, they're joking if we're going. So I'm kind of laughing while I'm pacing. Cause you know, I'm saying, hey, they're really thinking I'm out here, you know, kind of being mad. Sometimes I'm not. I just go out there just so they can act like they know what I'm doing. So,
can you think of a time when, or share a time when a student success story reminded you why you became a teacher?
Basically, just at their job, you know, they're thinking, "Hey, we used this topic last week, and you know, he did that silly song in that lesson, or." you know, he used three whiteboards, and I remember that, and just realities in everything you do.
Yeah, I was at the vet yesterday, and you just never know when you're going to have one of those moments where you. So there's this guy sitting there with his puppy at the veterinary clinic, and when I walked in, he kind of looked at well, looked me up and down, and then he kind of stared at me, and kind of made me a little uncomfortable. But the young man said, "Hey, did you teach math at East Lawrence High School early 2000s?" And I said, "Yeah, 97 to 2002. I was at East Lawrence as a teacher." He goes, "Coach Bryant, right?" I said, "Yeah, Coach Bryant." He said, and he told me his name, and I won't mention it today because I didn't get his permission. But at any rate. He said, "Yeah, I didn't like math much." He said, "But I liked you." He said, "You were a bright spot in my day." He said, "And I didn't think that I would ever use." And at that point in time, I was teaching Algebra 2. I think I actually had him for geometry because that was about the time the standards were changing, and there was a new course of study coming out, and we were actually teaching informal geometry, so we didn't use a lot of proofs, but it was heavy on the algebra. And so he said, "I didn't never really see any use in algebra. I didn't see any use in all of that." But I said, "So what are you doing now?" And he said, "Well, I went through a series of odd jobs and here and there's," and he said, "but I wound up at Bungie, and I'm an operator." And he said, "And I have to compute. Of course, we have computers, but," he said, "they're not always exactly right. We have to be able to do computations pretty quickly, and know what our volumes are and those kinds of things." And he said, "And there are times when I'll," he said, "your voice will be re echoing through the back of my mind when." 'Cause he was one of those that told me that, "Hey, I'm never going to use this. I don't know why I got to do all this." But he said, "I do use it. I'm not going to say and lie and say I use it every day," he said, "but I do use it." And he said, and "I appreciate the fact that you made it as simple as you possibly could for me when I was doing it." Just made me feel good for a few minutes. I did kind of make fun of him because there that 40-year-old fella, and he had this teeny weeny little bitty dog. Just this, I saw what it takes. Maybe it's a chick magnet. I don't know, but at any rate, it was not a what I would have expected a country boy dog to be. It was definitely a little bitty thing. And me sitting there with my beagle, What's the funniest misunderstanding or miscommunication you've ever had with a student?
I was probably at a parent-teacher conference, had something about grades, and this kid said my dog ate it. Well, mom that was there, man, she went off on him. And I said, if it's one thing, be serious. I said, but I've heard that story over and over. And every time in class, they said, my dog ate it. I said, do you want me to call mother? And he starts to get to work, so he don't want mom to call again.
Yeah. Something about a mama that cares, that boy, they don't want you to
Yeah,
talk.
exactly.
Yeah. Well, how do you mentioned earlier in the interview about you just every kid comes with a different set of needs. You never know what they're facing at home. So how do you inspire students who are struggling both academically and personally?
Basically, I give a lot of like half the classes their free time. I try not to give homework, but if I see a kid struggling, I just go over there and say, "Hey, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And he or she says their goal, and I just say, "Hey, to do that, you need this standard." And I try to put it, try to classify it with what their job wants to be down the road. And they said, "We don't need to do that." And I said, I bring their computer over, I look up, I want to be a barber, and all these standards that the barber needs, they kind of freak out and say, I think I need to do this because I don't want to be here all my life. So
Yeah.
just connections, real life connections.
So if teaching were a superhero job, what would your superpower be and how would you use it in the classroom?
Well, I have probably two speeds, Tarzan, speedy Tarzan and a slow Tarzan. You know, some kids that can go through lessons, in no time, while others, may take them, two class periods just to get one done. So, and when I speed up, some kids laugh at me because they say, hey, he's really trying to do this. We don't need this stuff. They joke about it, but basically, I just try to find a standard and, bring it on the, we have TV screens in our board, in our room, and, I just pull that up, hey, you want to do this job? And all the standards of that job comes on the screen. So just let them see it and what they need to do in their lifespan.
Well, all right. So the last segment of our podcast is I call it story time, and it's where you get to tell any story. Oh, you can go back to when you were a kid, prank that you've seen played, anything along those lines that would be worthy of conversation or telling during story time on Teacher Tales.
Okay. I think it'd be back in my Fruitdale days, my first full-time teaching job, and I went down there and the timer was one of the stories. The kids, they said, are we not taking this quiz? I said, guys, I don't have my timer, so we can't take it today. And they said, we need to take this quiz is really important. I said, okay. I said, no time then. In a matter of 20 minutes the timer goes off. And everybody's laughing and seriously turning in that quiz. And then the next day, the kids don't come to my room after lunch because I have lunch their first 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. Nobody comes in my room, so they're out there, they're seeing if I run after them or whatever. And I know your story about running after kids, and
Yeah, not doing it anymore.
no, I said, I ain't doing it. So the principal said, are you going after them? I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'll call them, I'll count them all absent, and I count them absent. And finally, 30 minutes later, they came in, and they all laugh and say, we did a prank on you. And that year I went to graduation and they brought up the timer incident and the not coming to class incident. So they had their fun and they proved a point that they are listening. Maybe not the way I want them to listen, but they are listening.
Oh yeah, they're paying attention. Any others? Anything else for the good of the cause
Not that I
comes to
remember.
mind?
Not that I remember. If it was, I forgot about it.
You mentioned graduation. Our when I was a principal, every year, of course, the standards, the kids would always prank something. They'd always do something prank worthy. Now, there were a couple that just really were on time. We had a dust up with some kids. We were very what's the word, traditional in our graduation procedures and what you could wear and what you couldn't wear with respect to those cords. And you get a cord for nearly anything these days. You can give blood. You can be a Boy Scout. Hey, you were a good boy in Sunday school. You get a cord. Military enlistment. I mean, they just go on and on and on. And before you knew it, if you didn't, kind of keep a hand, some guidelines, your graduation would be looking like a circus. And I was very opposed to graduation looking like a circus. I wanted it to look formal and professional, so we limited it to Beta Club, National Honor Society, AP cord for completion of AP classes. There were five or six that were approved for graduation, and of course the one that the kids wanted was not approved, and I don't remember which one it was, but it probably FFA, FBLA, something along those lines. Now we let them wear anything they wanted to wear like that to awards day. I wasn't, I didn't think that it was bad. you know, I didn't think that, I didn't want to diminish anything that they had accomplished. Wanted to celebrate it at awards day, but graduation, I wanted it to stay formal. Well, that dust up turned into, they went to the central office, and of course, central office sent it back to the school and said, hey, this is what, you know, if Mr. Bryant said this, then this is what we're going to roll with. So that year, when they came up on stage to get their diploma, each of them, all 129 of them, all 130 of them, I think it was about 130 of them that year, each of them had a cord to put around my neck. And I mean, everything from macrame to, you know, Hawaiian lace to, I looked like I, you know, they were piled up. You could barely see my head over the tap. By the time I got to the Z's, you could barely see my head. That was one of those where, you know, hey, hats off to them. That was pretty ingenious. Good prank that year. Another year we had, though the pandemic year was probably the best. They gave me a mask. Every kid that came on stage gave me a mask. Yes, but pretty good one that year. And there were some that were just plain lame. You know, the golf balls, you know, that's the year I got my real estate license. That was pretty funny. I got a real estate license during the year. Some of them, you know, got word that I had gotten a real estate license. So they all took my business card and I got a pick and created a business card with my real estate information on it. And every one of them gave me their card. Huh. Pretty funny. That's, you know, got to know your kids, and they were always good. You know, most of the time it was in good natured fun. It wasn't, you know, they weren't being malicious or hateful. Well, Todd, I really do enjoyed catching up with you. Thank you for sharing your experiences. And if you know of somebody else like Todd that is a, you know, an impactful teacher that would make a good interview for our show, do not hesitate to drop me a line and either in the comments or go to the website, teachertalespodcast.com, and there's a recommendation form there. Recommend that teacher, and then I'll take care of everything else. I'll contact them and try to get them scheduled to be a guest on our show.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Teacher Tales. If you are inspired, motivated, or just had a good laugh, be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. And if you know a good teacher who has a story to tell, I'd love to hear from them. Send me an email at motivatedinspiration@gmail.com with your suggestion. Remember, whether you're in the classroom, at home, or out in the world, keep spreading the joy of learning. Until next time, keep those stories alive.